Hello and welcome to Magic Mics. It's not bro time, it's show time. This is episode 1, Coach Carter from 2005. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe 2. Get ready and microwave that cantaloupe, because it's time for Magic Mics.
Okay.
Do you like my intro?
All right, I do. I like that this was pitched to me. Your idea for what the intros were going to be
was
pitched to me that, like, it's going to explain what the show's about. I guess that does.
Yeah, they're just like, you know, little goals for the beginning of the show, little tidbits, things I was thinking.
Squad goals?
Things I was thinking. That was it. So,
all right.
Get you hopefully to laugh a little bit at the beginning of the show.
So you're going to have one of these for every episode,
right,
of Magic Mics?
I'm going to try. I have a list of about 20 or 30 of them so far, so.
Well, we only need 12 a year, so you're good for another 2 or 3 years, basically.
Yeah,
so
I mean, like, well, you know.
You've got time to think
I'm working through them. You know, it's a work in progress.
I like it. Well, this is the first episode of the Channing Tatum podcast, Magic Mics. We are starting in the beginning and going to modern day. You may know us, potentially, from our Zac Efron podcast, Zac Attack.
Yes.
Where we started new and went old. We also have released last week, or a week and a half ago, we did the first episode of Too Fast, Too Forever.
Yes.
Where we're watching a Fast and Furious movie per month forever.
Forever.
One movie per month. One movie per month forever.
Say that 3 times
And
fast.
Then, I can't even say it once slowly. And then next week we are starting our Ryan Gosling podcast, Boyfriend Material.
Yes.
Did you see, actually, last night I quote tweeted somebody, some guy on Twitter, I don't know who, might have been a girl, I don't know, I didn't click on the profile, said to the parents of these people,
yes,
you did a good job.
And I did see this. Go ahead.
Four names, and it was Zac Efron, Ryan Gosling, Channing Tatum, and Luke Bryan. And he just said, thank you. And I was like, man, I was like, he has not responded to us yet. That whoever that person is our audience exactly.
Yeah, he has good taste, minus Luke Bryan, but yeah.
Who is Luke Bryan?
I think he's a country music artist.
Let's see here. Luke Bryan is an American singer-songwriter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. His number one song on Google is Hunting, Fishing, and Loving Every Day.
Yeah, exactly. See? I guess he's for, cool, like, the more redneck-y homosexuals. Some homosexuals that like more...
I mean, Channing was born in Alabama, so, he's a down south southern boy.
But, like we see in this movie, he plays Hood really well. So I don't think that he's really the hunting, fishing kind of type. You know what I mean?
So, I was going to look up trivia about Channing Tatum and sort of drop some knowledge on you. However, this movie, considering it's his first movie, I think it's his first on-screen credit, potentially, it's the first thing we're doing for sure.
Yeah.
We might do a clip show later. He's in this movie a lot.
And he gets a lot of airtime. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. We don't need to do trivia today. We can do it next month when we do War of the Worlds, in which he is uncredited.
Okay, fair. Yeah. We can save the trivia. That's totally fine by me, because we have a lot to talk about him being in this movie, so.
Although he does, my one complaint about, I have complaints about this movie, but my major complaint, for the reason we watched it, was he basically disappears the last, like, 45 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, he kind of falls into the background a little bit. I agree. Not that we really needed any of those 45 minutes, but yeah. Do you want to get into the movie, or you want to take a little sidestep and do our first segment here?
Well, you know me. I'm all about the sidesteps. If we can delay talking about the actual movie, let us delay talking about the actual movie.
Okay. So I thought that on the new podcast, something we never did, we kind of did, but we didn't really have, like, a segment for it. I think that every hour, top of the hour, we should reflect on the monthly news of the guys we're doing, right? Because these guys are still, like, you know, acting. They're still, like, they're not retired. They're going to put out some new shit all the time. I think that now's the time for the first ever segment of Tatum Tots.
Tatum Tots, here we go. So I get daily digest, Google alerts every day about Channing Tatum. Everything interesting I share on our social media pages on Facebook.com/CageClub and at CageClubPod on Twitter. The big one I found recently was that Channing was in Pink's music video for Beautiful Trauma,
yes,
which brings us all the way back to the 1950s and sort of does a gender role reversal,
yes,
halfway through the music video. When Pink finds Channing in her closet in one of her dresses, and instead of being upset, she loves it. She puts on a suit and they start to dance. It's all like a Fred and Ginger, old-timey Hollywood.
Very choreographed. They're dancing a lot together. Channing's a good dancer, man. That's part of the reason why we did this, so.
Yes.
Yeah, it was very amusing. I liked it. I think that if you're a Channing Tatum fan, you should check that out because the song is not going to be on the radio, from what I can tell.
No.
But the music video is good for a watch, man. It was definitely amusing.
And we will say, I had such fun doing the Zach Attack clip show that I want to make sure we do a Channing Tatum clip show. We want to do a Ryan Gosling clip show.
Yes.
You know, me and Mike over on Watch the Throne are going to do a Charlize Theron clip show, I think.
Clip shows were
this
fun.
This music video, for sure, will be in the Channing Tatum clip show.
And we can talk all about
when
it.
When it airs, I don't know, 2021 sometime.
Yeah, exactly. I'm in, for sure. 2021. Cool. Holy fuck.
It's yep.
A long time from now. Okay.
So what else? What else is in the news? What else? What are the Tatum tots you got for me?
Got some Tatum tots for the past couple weeks. Channing's gonna be in this new Yeti movie, Smallfoot. Have you seen this? Have you heard this?
I have heard about it. I have not watched a trailer because I do not watch trailers unless it's the movie.
Yeah,
I've seen.
I didn't watch a trailer either. Just was reading about it. It's cool seeing him in an animated movie do a little voice acting. I'm about that. Hopefully it's better than The Lorax, where you know Zeph was like. Totally. With voice acting, you kind of just are voice acting. I hope that Channing...
It's hit or miss. Well, I can tell you... Okay, Keanu only did voice acting in one thing, really, and that was in the movie Keanu. He was in one scene. Doesn't really count. When Mike and I did Cage Club, Nicolas Cage podcast, he was in four or five animated movies. The Lorax is equivalent to the bottom rung of that. Like, there's this movie called Astro Boy, where Cage plays a scientist.
Okay.
It's just his normal voice. He doesn't have anything exciting to do.
Okay.
There's other movies like The Croods and G-Force. He either has like a bigger part, a more interesting part, or a crazy, wacky voice. I don't think things are going to be worse than The Lorax. That's the TLDR.
Okay.
I think that what we went through for Zach Attack in terms of The Lorax is going to be the lowest tier in terms of one of our guys. Not, I'm saying that the movies aren't going to be worse, but in terms of like why we're watching, in terms of what the actor we're following is bringing to that part, I think that's about as uninteresting as you can possibly get.
Okay. Yeah, I get it. I think that's pretty solid. Yeah, I just hope that we have something to talk about. But again, you know, 2075 till we get there.
Yep, because we do have a couple animated movies that are coming up eventually on this. We have the Lego Batman movie.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
The Lego movie where he plays Superman, so that's, I know for sure that's great. We got the Yeti movie. I'm sure there's others that I can't think of or I don't know about, but yeah. Next Tatum tot.
Other Tatum tots we got here, his wife's birthday was this week.
Jenna Dewan.
Yeah, Jenna Dewan Tatum. She had a birthday, yep. So shout out to the woman that does get to see Channing naked all the time.
What? She will be in multiple movies with him.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. Step-up movies.
That's right.
And she's in other movies,
That's where they met.
She's in something else, too. Yep.
Last Tatum tot of the month I have here is that Ellen was, like, doing, I think, her, like, Christmas, like, holiday special. She was giving out presents, and Ellen makes this joke, like, so I got a gift that everyone's trying to get this year, but you guys are going to have to share it, and Channing came out.
Channing loves Ellen. Ellen loves Channing.
Yeah,
I love the both of them.
Exactly. So there's, like, you know, a lot of, like, okay, so she's doing 12 days of giveaways.
Yep.
And
one of the giveaways was Channing?
Yeah.
Every woman in that audience got to have sex with him that night, but just once.
There's even a few tears, apparently, and
I'm sure.
Like, danced his way through the crowd, and that was it. But that's pretty awesome.
I
think that's pretty funny.
Time.
I like that he could kind of take jokes at himself like this, you know? Like, I'm the number one present and, like, stuff, so cool.
Well, so that's the thing. So, like, we liked Zeph, that Zeph was able to sort of, like, make jokes about himself, but I feel like as time went on and we got to Baywatch, we found out that he wrote those jokes about himself.
Yeah.
I feel like he's able to take jokes about himself, but, like, he wants it to be a controlled environment.
Kind of.
I feel like Channing is much more loosey-goosey, willing to roll with the punches and sort of make a bigger fool of it himself. I think that's going to be more fun to track here than it was on Zach Attack.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Hopefully it's good.
No more Tatum tots. We are out of Tatum.
No. Just one little last one. That's what I was actually just, like, catching up on.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, tabloids think that he and his wife are, like, going to split right now because she solo appeared at the 2017 AMAs. Something about their Instagram. I just found this one, and they were, like, you know, talking about them splitting, but obviously there's always divorce rumors all over Hollywood, so hopefully not. They just, you know, just had her birthday. That could be a trying time for anyone.
Sure.
Yeah, so hopefully they stay together.
So, no more Tatum tots. We got a bunch of segments. We have new segments. We have segments of old from Zach Attack that we've refined and grown through the years over there.
Yep.
We are going to bring all of those to you toward the end of the show. But now it's time to talk about the actual movie. It's time to talk about Coach Carter from 2005. Did you know this was based on a true story? I mean,
yes.
I know they say at the end.
No. I knew it was
before you started watching it.
I knew before we started watching it. I remembered. I didn't know the story. I've never seen the movie, but I remembered it was based on a true story.
Did you know why it was famous? Like, what he did in benching his players because of academic reasons?
No.
Did you know about that before?
No, okay. I did not know about that. I mean, I couldn't even assume it was like that. You know, I was assuming that, like, somehow he brought a shitty hood rat team up from, you know, losing to being professionals.
So, like, a sport, you thought it was just like a sports cliche movie and not just
kind
and
of
not what it's. So that's what's weird about this movie, is it's sort of two movies in one. Like, the hood rat sports team that goes from 4-22 to undefeated, steamrolling through a tournament, that's the first like hour and 10 minutes of this movie.
Yes.
Then there's still another hour of this movie. He suspends his kids for not adhering to the contract he set out for. He cancels all the practices, you know, forfeits all the games until they get back together.
Yeah.
And then they eventually team up, unite, bond together to get their grades up, and then they team up, they get back on the court just in time for the playoffs. And their first game is against this team that we see at the very, very beginning of the movie.
Obviously,
that has the next
it was gonna
LeBron
be,
James.
Yeah, it was going to be them, obviously.
And they lose.
Yeah, which was super surprising to me, man. I really thought it was going to be a Cinderella story and they were going to win. But when they lost at the end there, like, I was kind of mind blown. Pretty shocked. They just actually let them lose.
I was surprised that they lost. But then if you think about it, like, this is the first playoff game. It's against a good team. It's the end of the movie. It wasn't the finals. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like they could go out on a high note. Like, if they had won this game, there would have been more. So, like, in the moment, I was like, oh, they lost. But then thinking about it after the fact, I was like, oh, right. Like, there would have had to be another 20 minutes or half hour of the movie.
Yeah.
If they had won this game. And the movie's already
fucking
super long.
It's long.
2 hours and 16 minutes, which is...
Yeah.
Whew. It feels it.
Going back to, like, talking about, like, the structure of the movie and, like, how it felt, yeah. It feels really long because, like, you were saying just, you know, a couple of minutes before, it feels like there's, like, the whole first part, which is kind of like the Dangerous Minds part, right?
What do you, like, so you said that before. What do you mean by Dangerous Minds?
Isn't that the movie with, what's her name? Am I talking about the right movie?
I don't know what you're talking about. That's what I'm trying to find out.
What's the movie? Dangerous Minds, isn't that the movie where, like, they have the teacher that comes in and she tries to get them ready for college and, like, they're all these hood rats and she, like, convinces them to learn?
Maybe.
Have you never seen this movie?
No, I've never seen that. Nope.
Really? It's, like, super classic.
Nope. Never saw it.
It's
from the 90s?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm definitely talking about, with Michelle Pfeiffer, right?
Oh, your girl Michelle Pfeiffer back from Zack Attack.
Yeah, yeah. That's, hold on. I think that this is what I'm talking, let me just double check. Yeah, it's Michelle. Okay. So it's Michelle Pfeiffer. She, like, goes into this, like, inner city school, right? And these kids,
95,
like...
95, yep.
And these kids, like, don't, like, they don't want to learn. They're just bad. You know what I mean? And she convinces them to learn.
Oh, she's a former Marine.
Yeah. So she convinces them to learn, and then she, like... But as she's, like, convincing them to learn and how they can, like, take care of themselves, she also discovers that, like, they're all from, like, really, really broken homes and stuff like this.
Gotcha.
So, like, the beginning of the movie is a lot like the beginning of this movie. You know what I mean? Like, she's, like, really tough on them, but then they realize that she's doing... because she loves them, and so it's kind of this Coach Carter thing where you're trying to make the kids better, so you have to be, like, disciplinarian to them. And
what's better about this, I think, is that Sam Jackson is the main guy, and he's black, teaching black kids, as opposed to this white savior who goes in. This is the same...
Yes!
So one of the guys who wrote this movie
white hero
also
complex.
Wrote Hardball. Exactly.
Yeah.
One of the guys also wrote Hardball, which we covered for Keanu Club, and that is another one. White guy comes in, teaches a group of black kids how to win, and it's like, oh, look how great he is. And, like, that, it just feels a little
weird.
Icky.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. It was currently going through this on Facebook this week. My friends were talking about some girl that we know that was, like, raising money to go on a mission trip. We were just talking about, like, somebody brought up, like, the white hero complex.
I feel like I feel like she could be doing that so she has that one picture of her holding a black baby in Africa that she could put on Tinder and be like, look how good of a person I am.
Yes. And it's wrong to judge her because we don't really know her intentions, but it does feel weird, especially, well, because she was asking for money to do it, so that was kind of weird.
Did you hear, related to that, unrelated to Coach Carter, there was a high school girl somewhere, her friend was sick, was at St. Jude's Hospital or something, and so over Thanksgiving, this girl was feeling generous. No, she's a college kid.
Okay.
She was feeling generous, and she's like,
how old's her friend?
This tweet.
Is her friend, like, old? As
I,
old
I,
as
I want to say it's also college. I don't
okay.
remember. I don't. That's not important in the story.
Okay.
Friend is sick. She wants to raise money. She's like, St. Jude's is taking such good care of my friend.
Okay.
I want to raise money for St. Jude. St. Jude's is the best.
Okay.
In the spirit of Thanksgiving, every time somebody retweets this, I'll donate a quarter. Every time somebody likes this, I'll give 50 cents. It went viral, and she now owes St. Jude's $200,000.
That's awesome.
And so there was like an interview with her, and she's like, I'm a college kid. I don't have this kind of money. So she put together a GoFundMe with a goal of $50,000. It's so far to date, as of this recording, has raised like $68,000. But it's funny that she's like, oh, you know, I'll give a couple $100 or whatever. You know, my friends will retweet it, like it, whatever. And then it has something like 200,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like 200,000 retweets and like 400,000 likes. And it's just like, uh-oh.
Yeah, like, oh, shit. Yeah, that's awesome.
But yeah.
Don't make infinite pledges like that if you can't back them up.
Oh, you mean like how we pledge to do infinite episodes of Too Fast, Too Forever?
Oh, no, we're doing those till we die. Like, till someone dies. Like, that's easy.
Until
that doesn't
ride
cost
or die.
That doesn't cost anything. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
you can't make a pledge that you have infinite money if you don't have infinite money, is what I was saying.
No, you are absolutely right. I just saw that this morning. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, good. On the same topic.
So, yeah, so.
So, Dangerous Minds.
Movie,
We get the Dangerous Minds segment, and then the second part we get like a sports movie. It becomes a lot more of like a sports movie, and then they bring in two things that I thought it was going to go one or the other way, but they bring in both of them. There's an abortion.
Yes.
Because, I mean, a teen movie.
Unexpected abortion. That came out of nowhere from it. I was not expecting
that. I was expecting abortion in the beginning when she was pregnant. I thought we were going to have to, like, deal through the abortion, right?
And you know who that is, right? That's Ashanti.
Yeah, that's Ashanti. Oh, for sure. I knew exactly who it was. I saw her in the opening credits, too.
Sure. Okay.
Ashanti gets an abortion. But the second thing, which is what I was telling you about as I was watching the movie, I was talking to you.
It was so hard for me not to respond to you.
I know. I was convinced the kid whose uncle gets shot, I was convinced that he was going to get shot in the movie and that they were going to have to play the final game in his honor, like, after they were all, like, depressed about him dying.
Well, you know what's funny is that the guy who wrote Hardball, in Hardball, one of the players gets shot in a drive-by and gets killed, and they have to play in his honor. So it's the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't even know. I've never seen the movie Hardball, and, like, that's, like, a common theme in these movies, you know? That's what I was expecting to happen.
Means it's not a great movie. It is kind of predictable, but you were like, yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, like the cousin or whatever. And it's just like, it's, yeah. I mean, the cousin gets killed and then Cruz is upset about it.
But in the same sense, as I was watching this movie, minus it, because we were talking like the structure, it's so long that we have these two parts that I feel like we could cut a lot of this out. Like, there's like a lot of him being mean in basketball practice, right?
You said the really good question. It's who didn't edit this? Like, that's
yes.
The exact right question.
That's how I phrase it to you. Who didn't edit this? Because we need to just like piece these together, and I think we could have done it in an hour and a half if we just skipped a lot of the parts. Like, we hear them yelling Diane so much for a movie that has no character named Diane. I couldn't get into it. Like, I like Gone in 60 Seconds, right? And I get the whole girl's name thing. Pretty nice touch. It was cool. The first explanation, good. Hearing them yell it over and over and over and over and over again is like, okay, like, as an audience member, I'm not that stupid. The reinforcement of it was okay, but stop. Like, I got it.
Well, they're saying it because it's, like, the play call. Like, so that's why they're not saying it to, like, hammer it home for you. They're just,
I know,
like,
but at the same time, it's like, God, I'm like, I hope that was like a serious nod that like the real person was like, you have to leave this in or something, and not like a director producer decision, like a writer position.
So the real life Ken Carter
says
that Sam Jackson's portrayal of him is 98.5% accurate.
Yeah, because every person, if Samuel L. Jackson was playing me, no matter what he did, I would say it was accurate because he's just badass all the time.
Sure.
So I can't believe this too much.
The other thing was that when they approached him to make his life story into a movie, as the story goes on IMDb, he handed in a slip with one name on it, and that name was Samuel L. Jackson. So he's just like, this is, you know, I like that level of confidence. Like, that, you know, there's only one man in this world.
I'm surprised he didn't pick Denzel for that matter.
I thought this was a Denzel movie, and then when Samuel Jackson was like, are they both in this? And then I was like, oh no.
No, I'm just being mildly racist.
Because Denzel's been in basketball.
Like, yes, I know he has.
So I just, I don't tie Sam Jackson
to sports
movies.
Didn't we watch
movies.
A Denzel basketball movie together? What fucking Denzel basketball movie did I watch?
I don't know. Maybe he got Game, or is there a different one?
I think there's another one.
Probably. So, but I don't associate Sam Jackson with sports, but he works here. He's good here because he's a good actor.
He got Game? Maybe it is He Got Game. I thought that there
with
was more
with
than
Ray Allen, former NBA player Ray Allen, isn't He Got Game?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Couldn't tell you.
Oh, no, you know what I'm thinking of him in? Which is the football version, which is Friday Night Lights. Or not Friday Night Lights, fuck.
Remember the Titans, which
Remember
the
Titans.
Material.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking. So I'm imagining him being the coach from Remember the Titans and just it being basketball, not football. That's what it was, sorry.
What's also kind of not funny, it's coincidental, is that the other guy who wrote this movie was the creator of the TV show One Tree Hill. He also created the TV show The Royals, but he wrote like 10 movies, including Flight, starring Denzel.
Okay.
He also wrote the new Kong Skull Island.
Oh, cool. Good for him.
Oh, no, this is the guy who wrote Hardball, and he also wrote the new Power Rangers movie, too.
Okay.
This movie was directed by this guy, Thomas Carter. As far as I can tell, no relation to Ken Carter. But Thomas Carter
directed... I
thought
that when I saw the end. I was wondering if he was related to him or not.
I don't think so. I didn't see anything about that. Thomas Carter directed this movie from 1986 called Under the Influence, which stars Keanu Reeves, and his dad is Andy Griffith from The Andy Griffith Show. Andy Griffith is an alcoholic in that movie, emotionally abusive towards Keanu, and it was in the stretch of like 8 or 10 movies in a row that were all message movies that Keanu did, and it almost killed me. Like, it broke my spirit.
What do you mean message movies? Like movies
so
about
like he did a movie about like, you know, dealing with alcoholism. They did one where a friend commits suicide. They did one where it's like all these different like heavy stories of like what high schoolers deal with.
Yeah, that's rough to sit through 8 of them in a row.
And then he broke out and he became Ted Theodore Logan from Bill and Ted. He was still in high school, you know what I mean? Like he was just pigeonholed as this high schooler for so long. It was just like, get on with it already.
Yeah.
So this is an MTV Films production.
Oh, it was? I didn't know that.
Wasn't We Are Your Friends MTV Films or no?
I think
it is.
No, I'm not sure. I mean, it would make sense because, you know, Max is on Catfish, so.
MTV Films has produced the Jackass movies, Napoleon Dynamite, Coach Carter, Hustle and Flow, The Longest Yard, Say the Last Dance.
Okay.
Aeon Flux, which we will do for Watch the Throne.
Cool.
Crossroads, the Britney Spears movie, Beavis and Butthead Do America, Election. Doesn't seem like they're doing too much now.
No.
MTV Films, We Are Your Friends. Or maybe it just feels like, no, it just feels like it
should be. Yeah, and you have Max from Catfish. You're just connecting the dots in your head. It's okay.
But the effect of that is that this movie, like Tokyo Drift, which we will get to in a couple months on Too Fast, Too Forever, this movie's wall-to-wall with music.
Yeah, and the fucking soundtrack is great, by the way. I really enjoyed it. Like, they had, like, a pretty solid soundtrack, so.
When I watched this last night, and I was like, you're gonna like this for a bunch of reasons, that was one of the main ones. Just,
yeah.
Like, even if you're not into the movie, like, there's just music that you're gonna like from
start
to finish.
Yeah, it was, like, a lot of great old poppy hip-hop kind of music, and I love that, so it took me back. I was happy. Ashanti being in the movie, I love any movie that has a rapper as an actor, so.
Yeah,
she's not really
absolutely
a rapper, but like any hip-hop person as part of the cast is good by me, so.
Also part of the cast, the reason we are here, the reason we are talking about this movie today, is Channing Tatum playing Jason Lyle.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten there yet, huh? Right.
No, Jason Lyle, real southern boy.
Yeah.
Shaved head, 25 years old in his first movie, playing high school. He's a high school senior, so you know he's 18 or whatever, but 25 years old, born in 1980.
He looks
came
a little
out in
2005.
Old.
He does look a little old.
Everybody
for the
looks
movie.
A little old, though. Everybody looks a little old.
Yeah.
But it's also like, it's also, I guess, of the mind that, like, you know, when LeBron was 18, he didn't look 18. You know what I mean? It's like,
true.
The dominant high school basketball players are going to always look a little bit older. So I didn't mind that because I was just excited to see him in this movie and see him on screen so much.
Yeah, he got a
but
lot.
But just wanted to point out.
Yeah, he got a lot of airtime, like we said, yeah. So it starts out, we get a shirtless almost immediately, right? Like, I think the first time we see Channing and what can we come up with a, I want to go up with a Channing Tatum nickname.
Like Zeph?
Yeah, I had one.
Well, it's Chan.
I was going to go
IMDb
Chan.
His IMDb nickname is Chan.
I was going to go Chan. I like Chan.
I don't like
lot.
That.
Why? It's kind of fun.
You like Chan.
I like Chan. You want to go Tate?
I feel like it's hard to say. Like, Zeph just, like, comes off the tongue. Like, Chan, it's like a,
Tate?
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 Channing?
Tot?
Tatum Tots? Tot?
Tatum? Tot? No. That's, like, too non. Got Tate. Tatum.
We could just call him C.
C? Big C?
Yeah.
The Big C?
Big C. Big C.
Okay. Okay, we'll work on it.
We'll try that on for size.
Okay.
We are also in the process of workshopping the motto, the catchphrase for this podcast. I don't love It's Not Bro Time, It's Show Time, but when we were trying to find a tagline for this, I was looking through quotes pages for all of his big movies, and there's nothing that stood out, so we might find one. Like, we had one in line for Too Fast, Too Forever, and then we watched The Fast and the Furious, and we're like, oh,
yeah,
this is a better one anyway.
Yep.
We just didn't get here
in
before
this.
The first episode, but we will. So we'll think of a nickname, and we'll think of a tagline.
Yep, I agree.
Big C.
Big C. So first scene we see him shirtless. And he even has like the towel kind of like almost showing his dick type situation going on.
Wait, are you No. When right? do you see that? Oh, in a locker room?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of locker room shirtless Channing Tatum scenes. As you guys might know, might not know, we did a lot of guesses for for Zeph. And Zach Attack, I noticed something that I think might carry throughout this, besides shirtless, because, I mean, obviously, okay. Channing Tatum's going to be shirtless. He gets into, like, 2 or 3 fights in this movie, and I think that we should do a guess on fighting, how he's going to fight in every movie.
We will for sure be doing that toward the end of the segment, toward the end of the show, in our guessing segment, we're going to do how's he going to dance, because we know dances a lot, how he's going to be shirtless, because he's shirtless a lot. He's shirtless at least 3 times in this movie.
Yes.
And how is he going to get into a fight? What he does in this movie... That
is
will
all three?
Not come up every time. Well, he does all three. But what I was surprised about, what I was pleasantly surprised about, he freestyles a little bit.
Oh, yes. The Channing Tatum freestyle was so good. I agree. I wish we had the lyrics of it. It was actually really horrible.
It was bad.
It was really bad.
I'm going to try to figure out how to pull audio from my computer. I know that Mike, my co-host over on Cage Club, Keanu Club, Watch the Throne, has a device that he basically records from his computer to and then re-imports it. I'm going to see if I can skip that step, if I can just find some kind of software that I can rip from, like, you know, Amazon or Netflix or something. I got to figure out a way to do that. If I can, we'll drop in his freestyle here. If not, just know it was wonderfully bad.
My name's Big Love. They call me Wild. Uh-huh. It's all right. Uh-huh. Can't get mom tonight.
Hey, what?
You might think I'm wrong. But she's got these thongs.
Hey, yo, it's Malcolm X from St. Francis.
Sort of maybe tied to that type of personality, sort of, or the freestyle mentality or whatever, Channing is also perpetually in a bandana in this movie. He's wearing a bandana in, I don't know, every scene that he's on the basketball court?
Yeah, and a do-rag at one point, too, which was interesting.
Yep.
It's weird because you see the basketball team, right? And obviously, like, all the stars are, like, the famous kids and the good ones. Right? So it's a team full of, like, black kids that are good at basketball. Then you have Channing Tatum. Right. He's obviously, like, the token, like, one white kid for the basketball team. But then, like, if you notice in the background, there's, like, a chubby kid and, like, an Asian kid that, like, just get no playtime ever for this team. And those are the kids that I was really confused about. Because I wanted to figure out what was going on with them. Because, like, Channing's definitely part of, like, the starters, right? Like, he's part of the crew. Like, he's, like, one of their friends. And then, like, the Asian kid stuff, like, they're just, like, running laps for no reason. Like, they don't get any playtime. They're not really doing anything.
So part of the plan for when they made this movie was that they gave every player, like, a special skill that, like, aligned with who they are, I guess, as an actor. And they said that Channing's was defense. I feel like that's... sort of like a, well, what are we going to give this white boy? He can be good at defense.
That's fine.
It feels like he's just, like, his thing is hustle. Like, there's that one time on the court where, like, he, like, dives for the loose ball. You know, he tries to charge.
Yeah, but other people do that, too.
I know, but he tries to draw a charge at one point. He can't draw the charge. There's no foul called. It's strange.
He's a token white kid. If he didn't really exist on the team, like, if this kid really didn't exist, but he did, right? Because he got, like, a scholarship or something. He's not even, like, in the end credits, I don't think. Like, that, like, you know, flash forward, like, what happened to them. Like,
oh, he's in there.
He is?
Yeah, here's what it says about him.
Oh, yeah, he
Jason
went to school
Lyle
and he got a business
San Diego
degree.
State University and graduated with a degree in business administration.
Yes.
Doesn't say anything about basketball, just said he got a degree in business administration.
Yes. That's it. So he was part of the team, so they had to keep him. I was hoping that they didn't add, like, a white kid into the team to, like, make
That's
it more approachable.
That's why I think he goes away toward the end, because they're down, like, 15 points, and, like, we never see him shoot the ball once. Like, we never see him, like, handle the ball at all. Like, he's just on there.
Yeah.
He'll catch a pass and pass it immediately. And so at the end of the movie, when they have to score so many points quickly, he's just straight up not on the court. Like, it's just 5 black kids. Like, the Asian kid, the chubby kid, Channing, they're all on the bench.
They come back. Coach Carter's a good coach. I mean, that's the way I...
And that's why I think that, like, you can't, like, I understand that he's, you know, 7th build or whatever, and, like, in terms of who's above him, like, he should be one of the 5 starters, but, like, you're not going to have a white kid. They do put him on there at the end when they're up 1 after the free throw or whatever. They put him out there to play defense.
Yes.
He's not involved in the final play.
No.
But he's out on the court to play defense, which is a smart substitution by Coach Carter in the movie.
Again, yeah.
But it's just funny that he plays no part in the last, like, basically from the time the team gets locked out till the end of the movie, he's, like, on screen a little bit, but I don't think he says anything. I don't think he does anything of note, and he's just sort of there around the team.
Yeah, he definitely gets cut out of part B of this movie. If we had like two VHSs of the movie, I don't think he would even be really credited on the second half. He's just like, eh, whatever. He's such an afterthought. But he was pivotal in the beginning.
Absolutely.
Other things, Channing almost gets robbed in this movie.
By his friends, though. Like, his friends, like, think it's funny to, like, jack him on the street. And he's like, he gets so mad. Like, rightfully so. He gets so mad.
I would get mad if my friend pulled a gun. Like, let's not pull guns on people at all. But mainly our friends. Like, that's not funny. I would be really, really annoyed to do that. The cool thing, before we got to that second part, is when Channing is the first one to stand up to offer to help do the push-ups.
So there's a few different things.
Was he the first
early
one?
Early on, I wrote down...
I don't know, he's not the first one.
No, he is the first one. You're right, yes. Okay. Early on in the movie, he talks back to Coach Carter and costs the team to do more suicides. Can we talk about for a second? Sidetrack for a second.
Yes.
Coach Carter in this movie uses workout like currency. He's like, you owe me 500 push-ups and 500 suicides.
Yes.
To me, that's fine. Like, if you want to be a coach like that, that's fine. However, a push-up should not be the equivalent of a suicide. You can do a push-up in a second. It takes you a minute or whatever to do a suicide. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't feel...
Yeah.
It should be like, you owe me 500 push-ups and 100 suicides. You know what I mean?
But
like,
And he raises them on equal levels.
1,000 and 1,000.
Yep. I noticed it too, and I was like, holy shit, isn't that going to take forever? Just time-wise, that should take very long.
But yeah, no, you're right, because the kid Cruz gets pissed off at Coach Carter, quits the team, realizes
in the very beginning,
because
he slams him, because Coach Carter slams him into the boards, right?
Yes.
Like one of the first.
Well, because he takes a swing at Coach Carter.
Yeah. I know. So rightfully so. And that's when he's like, teachers aren't supposed to touch students. He's like, well, glad I'm not a teacher.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah. So he quits the team, comes back, and he's like, all right, you got to do 2,000 push-ups and 1,000 suicides by Friday. We don't know what it is, but it's like 3 or 4 days away.
Yeah.
And he gets like kind of remarkably close. And then Coach Carter's like, no,
well,
sorry,
didn't
kid,
finish.
You didn't
do it. Get the fuck out.
Kicks him out of the gym. And then Channing, you're right, starts. And he's like, I'll do some for him. And then the rest of the team, one by one, it's almost like the Oh Captain, My Captain from Dead Poets Society.
Yep,
like,
exactly.
I will do this too. Yep. Thank you, Channing, for leading the way. Like, the white men will lead them free.
No, God, please don't say that. But yes, that's what it felt like. But it was cool.
But that's all that Coach Carter wants. He wants them to be a team, to be better men. He doesn't care if they win or lose. He wants them to stand up for their friends, become a family. Again,
family
on Too Fast, Too Forever, family here.
Yeah, that's exactly. So it was good. I'm glad that he started it. I'm glad that so Channing is the reason that the team came together.
Yeah.
And the reason why the one kid came back.
Can we talk about how Coach Carter basically Project Mayhems his entire team?
Like what?
He's talking to Cruz when Cruz comes back, and he's like, you owe me 2,000 and 1,000 whatever. He's like, what is your biggest fear?
Oh, yes.
Like, and he won't answer or whatever.
Yes.
He starts to practice. Cruz goes to the sideline, starts doing push-ups, and like Coach Carter like whispers into his ear. He's just like, he's basically like, go home. Like, you're not welcome here. You're not wanted here. Go home. He's doing that same thing like when people are on the porch.
I didn't make these connections.
Mayhem.
Yes, this
but
is
the other
perfect
thing I thought of is that he mandates everybody to call sir, and that's another thing in Project Mayhem. Like, everybody's just like calling everybody sir. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like this weird. He's like running his own Project Mayhem, except it's just a basketball team.
And for positive, I guess. Without as much negative, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I didn't even think about this, but you're absolutely right. He definitely does a lot of Project Mayhem type shit here, rescuing them from that party.
Let's talk about the parents, or the lack of parents. We don't have Channing's parents in this movie. His dad is in jail. There's no mention of his mom. We have his uncle toward the very end of the movie is just like, you know, my boy needs basketball.
No, his uncle was in that like first meeting when they were mad about the having to wear ties too.
Was he though? Because I looked at Channing and Channing wasn't near. It's easy to tell because there's like him and one other white kid on the team, and the other white kid is near like white parents, and then Channing is alone in the back with nobody else near him.
Okay.
And I felt like he was alone at that meeting. And at the end, when they're at the lockout hearing that the board votes to end the lockout, that's when Channing's uncle steps up and is just like, my boy needs basketball or whatever.
Yeah.
But what is also of note for the parents, not his parents, future Academy Award winner Octavia Spencer plays Battle's mom. At the time of this movie, the kid who played Battle was 20, and Octavia Spencer, she was in The Help.
Oh, she won for The Help, not for... she was also just in the... what was the movie about the scientists?
Hidden Figures.
Hidden Figures last year. Yeah, she was in that too. So
Hidden Fences. But she... At the time of this movie, she's 30, and the kid playing her son is 20. She gives off that motherly vibe, but I just thought that was kind of funny that like they're so similar in age, and she's playing his mom. But it's like, it's believable. You know what I mean?
Because
when they go into Coach Carter's sporting goods store, and she basically chews out Coach Carter. She's like, I get what you're doing, but My son has like.
You're gonna ruin. Like, you're gonna actually now. Ruin yes. his chance if you don't yes. let him play in front of this scout. He's, you know, he's a logical guy, so he like yeah. just like, okay, well, you have to do a million push-ups too, and then you can play.
The funniest thing is like when they're walking back out to the car, you, like the entire way she's just like screaming at her son, which is
yeah, she's just
pretty funny.
I thought that was good, which
was
pretty funny. I agree.
Let's see here. So we get the shirtless chanting again in the locker room.
Yes, we did, and then we got a second fight, right?
Second fight. Yep. He's basically, oh, he's hitting on the one girl. Where's that quote? It's crazy out there on the court. To calm myself down, all I gotta do is think about you. And then Coach Carter comes up, he's like, aren't you supposed to be in geometry? He's like, yeah, bye. And like, just like, that's
he
the end of
that. He flubs her name. He's like, this is yep. Bella. You mean Betty. Shit. And then he just, yep. yeah.
Movie cliche, but I still liked it because it's Channing.
I did too.
Also, Channing is another leader in a sense in that after they win that mid-season tournament, they go back to the hotel. Channing is the one who sort of leads the escape to the party. Like, he's the one knocking on the first door.
Yes.
He's the one like, all right, we should go out of here. So, like...
Also, he's the one who leads getting Carter's son drunk, by the way.
Yeah.
Because he's the one who's, like, making him drinks and tossing them to him.
It looks like they're pouring malt liquor into knockoff Mountain Dew.
That's what it seemed like to me, too, which is totally useless.
Also, see, it sounds... disgusting.
Both sound pretty gross, yeah.
Because it's like all it's just like alcohol in a brown paper bag, but like it's not shaped like a pint. You know what I mean? Like it's
it definitely
it's
I noticed the exact same thing too, dude. I was totally with you. Yep.
And it's basically Mountain Dew, which is like some kind of like shitty knockoff label printed on top of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
We get shirtless Channing again when he rushes to get into the pool with the girls because the girls are like, we don't have bathing suits either, and they all get down in their underwear
and they
get in the pool.
He strips on screen. It's important.
But it's like the least sexy strip of all time.
I know, but it's
like, I need to get in the pool with girls.
But we get a first strip already.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's like I consider that a strip. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like he takes
like
his
it.
Clothes off.
Yep.
So
how about this? So later when we were talking about how to do the guessing game, we
yes.
were gonna maybe do strip. How about this house rule that for either your dance or your shirtless, one or the other per movie has to include stripping.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
In
for
some
your
form.
Guess.
Not,
yeah,
not
yeah,
all
yeah.
clothes, but just like just because we know he's gonna take
or
off
your
clothes
fight.
In some or your fight. Like yeah, he like has to take his shirt off to like get ready for the fight.
Exactly. Like seductively.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, you have to bone your bonus point is that you tag a strip onto one of them.
In the correct one, yes.
In the correct mm-hmm. one, yeah. I think I got through everything that I wanted to talk about the movie about.
After they get locked out, Channing is mad, and then they all start fighting with each other about, like, we don't want to be locked out, but they all sort of get it, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, they get
what,
it.
What is, I was thankful for, is that they bring in Bob Costas to interview Coach Carter. They're
yeah.
like, hey, you know, they're making
it was
waves,
a very
like,
nice
Bob
touch.
Costas here.
Yep.
I was like, thank God, it wasn't Matt Lauer.
I know, right? After this past week.
Because oh, Matt God. Lauer's been in a lot, like, he's in the Sharknado movies. Like, basically, every time they need to go to NBC, it's either Bob Costas or Matt Lauer. And,
yep.
like,
yeah.
he's in a ton of things. And I was like, I can't be, like, the first movie I watch after that news breaks.
Yeah.
Matt Lauer's like, hey, look at me, I'm lending journalistic credibility. Like, thankfully, just Bob Costas and his weird eye from Sochi.
Yeah, but at this point, we're just counting down the days till everybody's accused of sexual harassment. In
yep.
the right, I wasn't saying that was wrong, just saying, apparently, we're just waiting for everyone to get outed, so.
Yep.
Yeah.
What do you think of the team's chant of Rich what? Richmond. Rich what? Richmond.
I don't know. I got it. I was hoping that's the chant that the actual team picked and used because it's not something that I would have picked.
Well, the real team was Richmond High School, so
I
it's
believe
possible.
It. Yeah, I'm sure
yeah.
that was their actual chant. It's just like, I don't know. And a lot of these chants are kind of dumb to me. I mean, all the sports ones. I think that the soccer fans have the best ones because they're like, you know, full songs about like weird shit and you have to know
oh yeah like
lyrics.
When I saw Arsenal they were like you know there's some songs that they have that are just like one word repeated over and over again but they have like songs about specific players songs
yes.
about specific instances
yes
I heard probably like six or seven different songs over the span of one game I'm sure
and
that's
everybody
like...
knows the words
yes
mm-hmm. yeah and they're always like they're like yeah remember that time you missed this goal you suck and stuff like that and like they're all really funny and there's like jokes
yeah.
in them and stuff so like yeah I agree I miss the soccer once. I wish if America could take anything from the British again, it would be stealing their like poetry that they have for their sports players. So,
but you know what is not very creative by these crowds is
what?
The signs that they hold up during
oh,
the tournament.
God,
they have
they were
one
all
sign
so bad. They were
that
all
says
so bad.
The Oilers, which is the Richmond team, I think. The Oilers are all
yeah.
right.
Yes, I saw that one.
The only other sign that I remember seeing is "Let's go, team."
Yeah. They're pretty bad.
Good job, MTV Films.
At any point, did you really want them to break out into a song a la High School Musical?
100%.
I really wanted... Oh, on that note, we get way too many long shots of cheerleaders dancing. Like, they really wanted to bring it on in this movie so bad. Like, whoever was, like, the cameraman was like, please just let me get this bring it on shot. And the guy who didn't edit the movie was like, I'll leave this in.
Right.
There's a lot of the cheerleaders dancing.
Every time they cut to the cheerleaders, every time they cut to Ashanti and her friends, it feels like it doesn't belong in the movie. Like, they want to, like, have it not just be about the basketball team, about, like, the community, about these other kids. But, like, at the same time, aside from maybe one conversation, we never see any of these girls when they're not with one of the main guys.
Also, wasn't one of the girls the girl from the Cheetah Girls or whatever?
What's the Cheetah Girls?
Yeah, like one of the girls that was with the show.
What is the Cheetah Girls?
That was an MTV girl group, I think.
Oh, probably then.
Yeah.
That would track. That would make sense.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. Yeah, one of these girls is, what's her name, from the Cheetah Girls. If Rachel was here, she would know exactly who I'm talking about.
Thank you, Rachel.
It's Ashanti's friend.
Okay.
The cheerleaders. All the cheerleaders are kind of famous.
The Cheetah Girls were Disney.
Adrian Houghton, right?
She's 4'11", Adrian Houghton.
Well, thank you for that one.
Real little girl.
Yeah, she's small.
Coach Carter. Yep, she played Dominique. You were right.
Yeah, that was her.
The main Cheetah Girl, Adrian Houghton, plays Dominique.
And she was in 3LW, yes. So I knew that she was another music person. So she's like from like pop music of this time, you know?
Well, it feels like when you have an MTV, because it was in theaters, and we'll get to the box office in a second, but it feels like when like MTV is making a movie, they're like, who can we take from our stable of young people
and
put them in this movie and just give them more exposure?
Yeah.
And then the movie will give the music exposure, the music will give the movie exposure, all
it's
that sort of stuff.
It's a solid move, dude. I like it.
So this movie was in theaters. How much do you think this movie cost to make?
$38 million.
Should have stopped after 30. It was $30 million.
Oh, wow. Okay. I wasn't too far off.
How much do you think it made, either domestic or worldwide? It was mostly domestic.
I'm going to guess, because I know that this was like an MTV movie, and going back to the Zeff thing, that this is a Friday night make-out movie, get your parents to drop you off. I'm going to guess $48 million.
Made $67 million.
Okay. Yeah.
Another 10 worldwide. So, did pretty well.
Not too bad.
Nothing spectacular.
They made some money, though.
The most interesting note I found was that Channing Tatum had never played basketball before this movie. So, he had the team had like 5 hours of basketball practice a day to like basically make it look like they knew what they were doing. And I think it looks pretty good for the most part.
It's pretty good.
But Channing had individual practice on top of that because he was so far behind all the other guys. So, that's pretty funny.
That's really funny. I like it.
The real Ken Carter was on set every day as a consultant.
Cool. That's how you should do it. If you make a movie like this, you should have him on set.
Yeah.
Like, that's how Dr. Dre did it for Compton and stuff, so...
Yeah.
I agree.
The filmmakers shot the game scenes over and over again from many different angles. Sometimes they run a single play a couple hundred times to get, I guess, footage from every place. It feels like just sort of do like NBA lighting, because like NBA lighting looks good, you know what I mean? Like, and just have cameras everywhere. Like, I don't know why you would do it multiple times.
I agree.
Hey, man. Well,
I think it was so it didn't look like they had cameras everywhere because it's a high school game. Whereas like when you're watching an NBA game, they just have like cameras set up everywhere and you see them.
Yeah.
Your brain just doesn't like catch them. I guess they kind of had to do that, but at the same time, it's dumb. Like, you should just done them a couple times. I mean, like, I can't imagine they would look that much different.
The actors had to learn about 70 plays for the movie, so you're tired of you got tired of them yelling out Diane, but they had 70 plays to learn, which is kind of a lot for actors who aren't basketball players.
Yeah, that's a lot of plays.
They had a lot of passes and picks to highlight the theme of teamwork, and this is also the first sports movie to use 3D digital mapping technology, which helped choreograph the plays and figure out where to put the cameras. Who's going to go where? Where do we need to have the camera to catch the shot? Like, you know, when the ball's passed from this player, when he's going to take the shot, when he's going to, you know, cross over and drive. I guess they used some kind of technology that had never been used for a sports movie before to figure out where to put the camera. I think it looks good. Like, it's a well-shot sports movie, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty decent. I liked it. There was a fuck ton of basketball. Again, something we could have cut, you know, 10 minutes of it out.
And my only other little bit of trivia is that the hotel that they stay at, that they sneak out of, is the Safari Inn in Burbank.
Yes.
And that was also in another Samuel L. Jackson movie. I mean, he has a really, 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 really small part in it, but in True Romance. At the end of that movie, Clarence and Alabama go there to hang out, and that's where Alabama fights James Gandolfini in the Safari Inn in their hotel room. So
how about that?
Cash me outside, how about that?
Did you see that she just released a music video, by the way?
Daniel Cipolli. I mean, she's very prolific.
Yeah, that was all I wanted to say about that.
Do you have any other notes about the movie, or want to get into the end games segment of this podcast?
I want to get into the games, but right before we do that, I wanted to say that I did enjoy this movie. Minus it being long, I would have trimmed it up a bunch. Overall, it was a good movie. It was a good story. I like these feel-good stories. Like, I'm not a sappy movie kind of guy. I think that, like, this is as close as I get to sappy movies.
So I know that you don't rate things on Letterboxd, but out of 5 stars, how many stars would you give this movie?
3.75.
I gave it a 3 out of 5. I think it's good. I think it's a lot better than I was expecting it to be. I was also pleasantly surprised by how much Channing Tatum was in it.
Yeah. There's a lot of Channing in that rating, so that's what I was saying.
So we have an email address, magicmikes@cageclub.me, M-I-C-S.
Yeah, M-I-C-S.
Or if you send us the other one, magicmikes, M-I-K-E-S, we can also get that. We have no email today. I did not expect to have email this time around. I'm actually going to check the other one just to be safe.
I'm wearing my Cage Club shirt right now.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, this is like the OG one. It's like the gray one.
It has started to fade. Mine has started to fade a little bit on that one. But no emails yet. magicmikes@cageclub.me. Let us know what you think of the movies. Let us know what you think of the podcast. Okay, so for Zeph, you always told people to send dick pics. For Too Fast, Too Forever, send car pics. What should we have people send us for Magic Mikes?
Male strippers.
I guess. All right. Send
male Chippendale dancers. Picks. Chippendale dancers. They don't need to be naked, but just like, you know, fit men stripping.
There's nothing I want better as a straight male who will be 30. No, I'm not going to be 30 by the time this comes out. Soon after. Nothing more I want to see when I open my email than just fit men dancing up on women. So send that to me. Send, I guess, Chippendale dancers. Send male strippers to me. Or female strippers, either way. Body positive. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Send us hate mail. Send us love mail. Send us fan mail. Whatever. Let us know what you think of the podcast. magicmikes@cageclub.me.
Just send an email that just says fuck off and I'll be really happy.
I feel like if Matt listened to this, which he will not, that's the email that he would send.
Yeah, because he likes taking all my jokes.
Okay, the Google game, back from Zack Attack. I am going to
This is one of my
Google.
Favorite games. It's one of my favorite games. This is the game where we Google autocomplete. We check to see if you search the name of the movie, the name of the actor, what comes up.
Yep, so I'm searching Coach Carter Channing Tatum. There are 5.
Basketball.
One is YouTube, does not count. One is trailer. One is quotes. One is cast. There's one real one that we want to play with here. Your guess was basketball is incorrect.
Shirtless.
What else you got? No, but
haircut.
Not, it's, no.
Towel.
Nope. I feel like it's going to be something that we're going to have a lot of people search for in a lot of movies.
Age.
Nope.
Go ahead. I'm excited to hear what it is. I don't know.
Workout.
Oh.
Basically, how do I look like him?
Yeah, but he's, like, not very ripped in this one, like, comparatively.
No, but he's also in good shape, still.
He's in pretty good shape, yeah. I would have to say so.
Channing Tatum, Coach Carter, workout. All right. Trailer.
Yeah.
Going on YouTube right now. Coach Carter trailer. Ooh, they have clips. First practice and stuff. Hold on. So if you search Coach Carter trailer, the first result that comes up is from Paramount Movies. That's 1.2 million
Where'd
views.
You send it to me? On Facebook, or?
I just sent it on, okay, just put it out there on Discord.
Okay, let me get
I'm gonna let it buffer a little bit.
Same. This one looks like somebody recorded it from their phone. Is it like an official?
It does, but this is uploaded by Paramount Videos. Oh, no, this is from YouTube Movies. This should be a real one. I don't know why, but we're gonna watch it.
Okay.
All right, Joe, you ready to play?
Yeah, go for it.
3, 2, 1, play.
Okay.
Oh no, it's just a video effect.
Yeah, it was that first part.
So
there's the hood.
Yep.
Him holding the baby. Oh, them getting robbed. Channing getting robbed already.
But we don't know it's a fake out. So this is a much more street movie than it actually becomes. I mean, there's a lot of street elements in the movie, but this is like, can you believe how dysfunctional this all is? We got to bring in this man with a shiny bald head, which they call out in the scene.
Yeah.
And have him fix the day. Save the day. Be the hero that this school deserves.
He slams the kid up against the wall, which is pretty good move.
There's Channing.
On the new basketball court.
Cannot believe what's happening here.
Why?
No, I mean, I'm just saying he can't believe that his new coach is like slamming players up against the wall.
Oh, yeah. I like that he makes them wear ties to school and makes them sit in the front. That's a good move. Like, that's a really cool coach move. Like, go sit in the front. If you sit in the front, you're much less likely to fuck around, so.
I also feel like, even though this movie's filled with cliches from time to time, you gotta get the underwear shots in there.
Underwear
shots. Even though this movie is filled with cliches from time to time, there's also a lot of, like, believable stuff, like when all the parents are like, you want them to wear ties? Like, we don't have ties. And he's like, oh, go shop at Goodwill. And they're like, he's like, you too good to shop at Goodwill? And they're like, no,
is there,
we're
like,
not,
scenes
like, we're
in this that they were cut out of the movie? Or was I just not paying attention fully?
I sort of recognize all this stuff. I mean, I don't know. There's a chance that there's stuff that, you know, was cut out. Because I feel like you don't make a 2-hour and 16-minute movie without cutting stuff out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess. Oh, it's from the director of Save the Last Dance. That's why all the fucking cheerleaders shots were there.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's Cruz running away with a gun.
Little Tupac for...
Oh, one thing that I saw on Google when we searched Dangerous Minds before is that the featured song in that movie was Coolio's Gangsta's Paradise.
Yes,
so.
It is. I can't believe you've never seen that movie. You need to watch it. I like that they makes him do a little charity, takes care of the kid after he gets shot. Channing again. We're gonna finish
what you started, sir. We didn't talk about his son, who withdraws from a really good school to go play. He's like, you've never not been my coach, and he has like really high standards for himself, and like that, like nothing ever comes of that.
Yeah, no, he went to, they said it, he went to, like, West Point after this.
Yeah, but I mean, like, in the movie, nothing ever comes of it, like, special. Like, he just, like, gets put in the game. Like, people are just like, oh, yeah, he's good at basketball, he should be in here.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the trailer.
The trailer was okay. I mean, it kind
of
just...
It didn't spoil anything, it's just sort of, you know...
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it's not terrible.
We've seen a lot worse, for sure.
Prediction time. Dancing, shirtless, and fighting. One of these has to involve him taking clothes off.
What's the name of the movie?
Oh, the next movie we are doing is War of the Worlds, the Tom Cruise alien film, the remake of the 1950s, War of the Worlds.
Is there even going to be... Okay, this is fun. Okay, I got
so
some.
So keep in mind, Channing Tatum is uncredited in this movie, so I'm assuming he has a very small role. Also returning to this movie is the guy who plays Cruise, will be back in War of the Worlds. So a little bit of a reunion.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, a little bit of a Channection there.
Channection.
From one movie to the next. Yes. So, okay, Joe. In War of the Worlds, a film about alien invasions, how will Channing Tatum dance?
Okay, aliens come to Earth. They clearly don't wear clothes, right? So Channing strips so that he can have a dance battle with one of the aliens.
Okay.
They're going to have a dance off. When he loses, he tries to fight the alien that was reffing the dance battle.
Oh, so he's not mad at the guy who beat him. He's mad at the guy who judged him.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, so that's...
And that's also the shirtless scene, too. That's all your guesses in one.
Yeah, because he's going to strip... Because to make it fair, he can't wear clothes for the dance battle because the alien's naked. So he has to strip first, like, non-seductively. Then they do a naked dance battle. Then he fights the ref.
Do we want to make that a rule for the guessing game, that they all have to be in the same scene, or can we break it up?
No, you can definitely break them up, but I like putting them all together.
So here's my guess, because I think in terms of, you know, if I was going to do a dance, that would make sense to me. So I'm going to start with shirtless. He has to hide from aliens somewhere. And it's somewhere that is a really tight fit. And he has to take
his
clothes off.
It's so tight that he has to take his clothes off. He can't spare the 3 millimeters.
He has to oil himself down so he can slide in and slide out. Okay. I have this, for some reason, I'm envisioning he's hiding in like a crawl space under a house.
Okay. He's also not credited for this whole like soaping up himself scene.
Well, he's also not credited for your dance battle, which seems like a pivotal moment in your film.
Okay, fine.
So that's the shirtless scene. I guess that's also kind of stripping, because we see him take off his clothes, oil himself down, sneak under. Maybe the house collapses and he dies. That's why, you know, that's
he's not
under
credited.
Very much.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like a really quick clip. It's like 13 seconds, you know, just like going across, they're like looking at people hiding, pulls out the baby oil, takes his shirt off, climbs into the crawl space in the moon, and then he dies. Okay.
Before that, though, obviously, he also has a dance and a fight scene.
Yes.
Dancing, I think, it's going to be a little bit lazy, but here's what happens.
Okay.
Channing is presumably the star of this movie. Oh, okay. He's kind of like Scream. Like, you know how Drew Barrymore dies in the opening scene in Scream? Like, she was billed as the star, and she gets killed early on.
Okay.
And that was the big reveal. War of the Worlds, a film that I've seen before, is going to start with Channing Tatum home from high school with a girlfriend, okay?
Okay.
They are making out. You know, he gets up. He starts dancing a little bit because they're listening to the radio. He's dancing a little bit, doing something seductive a little bit. Not stripping, just dancing.
Okay.
Radio, smash cut. Announcer interjects. We have a breaking bulletin. Breaking news bulletin. Aliens have invaded Earth. Girl has a fright, passes out. Channing springs into action mode. That was his dancing, but he bolts out of the house, leaves the girl behind at his house for some reason. I don't know why. He wants to go get prepared, runs to the hardware store. Hardware store is in a tizzy. There are people everywhere. People all heard the radio announcement. They're all
freaking out.
He's trying to get 2x4s. He's trying to get hammers. He's trying to get nails. While he's picking up this wood, he grabs a wood that somebody else also has a hand on, and they get into a fight there. Channing obviously wins.
Does he beat him with the wood?
No, I think he just throws a punch. The guy just, you know, goes down, takes some wood. Doesn't pay, because you can't pay in a time like that. He just takes out, goes back to his house, boards up his house, realizes the house isn't safe.
With that one piece of wood that he carried.
Yeah, you know. No, he's got like a shopping cart, you know, he's pushing it. He lives close to the hardware store. Pushes it home, boards up the house, girl's still there. Girl leaves to go with her parents. Channing feels this house is not safe, takes off his clothes, oils himself up, hides under the house. House collapses on him.
Okay, yeah.
It's all in the first like 10 or 15 minutes.
Not credited.
Not credited.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like that.
Because he was such a rising star after Coach Carter, they're like, we don't want people to know that he's in this film. We don't want to put his name on anything.
Yeah.
He's going to be uncredited in the movie.
That works for me, man. I like it.
That's that. Okay, Letterboxd Coach Carter.
This is one of my most favorite games.
This is also a game that has rules that change every time.
What? What do they do?
In terms of like what we're actually trying to guess.
No, it's always, how many is it in their top four? How many people have seen it?
Yep.
And then what other things are in the top four of somebody interesting and that has it in their top four? Those are always the rules.
For reference sake, Mad Max Fury Road, still the most popular film on Letterboxd, has been seen by 166,000 people. 166,000 people have logged that film on their account. Coach Carter has been seen by how many people? I will let you know, two of my friends, including ZackTac Superfan Jess Knight, Jess Collins, also on the Zeffies episode, has seen Coach Carter already. How many people, including me and my two friends, have seen Coach Carter?
15,763.
Number's too high. You get two more guesses.
7,415.
Number is too low. You have one chance to get close. Split the difference, or somewhere in the middle. I'm not saying split the difference like you're equidistant. I'm just saying somewhere in the middle between your 7,000 and 15,000.
9,715.
9,462.
Cool. Yeah, that's...
So you got there in the end.
Yeah, I did. I got close.
Now, out of those 9,400 people, how many have it in their top four films on Letterboxd?
19.
22. Again, startlingly close.
Yes, right?
So I'm going to go to a person, if there's anybody. The criteria I normally go for, which is, has a picture. Gave five stars, and wrote a review. Nobody has all of those. There's one person with a picture, 4.5 stars, wrote a review.
Let's use that.
Alexander Balagot.
Well, four Alexander, films. Today's your lucky day.
He is still active on Letterboxd. He reviewed What We Do in the Shadows about a week ago. He's from the Philippines.
Okay.
Four films in his top four. Coach Carter is number four. The other three have nothing to do with Coach Carter or basketball or sports. They're three massive movies.
Guardians of the
Galaxy. Can you name them? No. Here's another thing. One is from the 80s, one is from the 90s, and one is from the 2000s, but before 2010. So the decade, the actual 2000s. One's from the 80s, one's from the 90s, one's from the 2000s.
Matrix.
Nope. This is really hard. Like, these are really hard to do, but there are three massive movies.
Titanic.
No.
If
you get close at all, I'll let you know. But I don't think...
You gotta give me something. Give me, like, any kind of tidbit.
Okay, they're all part of film franchises. Two of them are the first in a series. One
Batman,
is the third
Batman.
In a series. No, but one of them is a superhero movie.
Okay. Superman?
Nope.
Fuck. I don't know.
Iron Man?
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I get that.
Jurassic Park?
Oh, fuck. Yeah, Jurassic Park makes sense.
And his number one favorite film is Star Wars Return of the Jedi.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense.
That's a very difficult game. You are good with the numbers. It's difficult to guess what people like, because especially him, nothing similar.
Foreigners are a little hard because, like, you know, if you tell me, like, oh, you know, 14-year-old white girl, like, then it's a lot easier.
Okay, T. Roy. Oh, this guy just loves Denzel. This guy from
Well,
Perth.
Denzel's not in this movie, so.
I know, but two of his top four films, Remember the Titans and The Equalizer.
Okay.
And also in there is Django, so.
Nice.
This white dude from Australia just loves films led by black men, so.
That's cool.
Good for you, T. Roy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Okay, Troy Bolton, maybe. Maybe T. Roy Bolton. Okay, last game before we get to the two things at the very end of the show. Fire Ass Titles for Coach Carter. This is where we originally... What was the description of this? Originally, we were meant to make movies sound like High School Musical, like the most generic, basic thing. But now we're just renaming it to things about the movie.
Yeah. I like doing like a little bit of puns, spinoffs, titles of other movies.
Yep.
Yeah. So you got one?
I'm going to start off right now with Coach Carter, Sir.
Abortions, shootings, and basketball. Kind of like Love and Basketball, but just like straight to the point.
ASB, abortions, shooting, basketball. I'm going to go with suicides.
The Game.
Oh. We're all in this together.
Dangerous Minds.
Two. More dangerous. Dangerous harder.
Dangerouser Minds.
Hood Games.
I
don't like any of mine so far for this.
You're just bad at this game. Fuck, what was I gonna say?
Well, to be fair, I don't like any of yours either. This is a difficult movie to do this for.
MTV Films. Basketball.
God, I am stumped.
Okay.
I don't think I'm out of practice. It's a difficult one for me to do.
Yeah. I get it. This is.
Because I think, like, the name of the movie's not great, but I think it's... I can't think of a better one, or one that's, like, funnier.
Yeah.
I think it's actually pretty well named.
I'll take it, yeah.
Or, okay, here's one, inspired a little bit by what's one thing that Channing does, some other meanings for the word, freestyles.
Ooh.
You got one more to end us, to wrap it up on?
Yeah, that works.
But do you have one more, or do you want to go out on that?
No. That was it. I blew my load.
Cool.
I microwaved that can a little.
So, okay, one thing we're going to do here, so that it saves us time down the road, I believe, will be to talk about... Eventually, we will have the Channing Tatum Awards, which we don't know what they're going to be called yet.
True.
Maybe the Big C's. Who knows?
Yeah. Tatum Tots.
Tatum Tots.
Who knows?
We had for Zack Attack 10 or 12 categories. We had best film, worst film, best role, worst role, you know, best shirtless scene, best crying scene, best male actor who wasn't Zac Efron, best female actress, you know, a bunch of different categories. We are going to, and I would like to try to nominate everything for at least one, because I think that was nice for Zac Attack. For Coach Carter, it's hard to say. I don't think it's good or bad enough to be best film, worst role. What do you think?
No, I do think it would be a combination of some of the best shirtless scenes, because I like the towels.
For sure. Oh, well, we have to, so, I mean, if we're doing guesses for dancing, shirtless, and fighting, those all have to be awards there too. So does
That's
this qualify? I mean, are any of the fights in this worthy?
No, there's some fights, but I don't know. Dancing.
So best shirtless for sure. The shirtless debut of Channing Tatum, at least in movies.
Yeah,
you know,
the towel,
in real life,
but,
obviously.
Like, the half towel thing twice. Stripping to get into the pool is a possibility.
Okay.
I like Ashanti as a possible best non-Tatum role.
I'm going to for sure put Sam Jackson in the running for best non-Tatum male role.
Yes,
sure.
that's a good one. Soundtrack is really good.
Okay, we'll do best soundtrack. We'll do best soundtrack and best song. Because I don't think there's one song in here that stands out.
This isn't really
the
like a song, I agree. But I think best soundtrack is, I think this is up there for me so far.
Plus also, to keep in mind, best song, whatever we nominate, has to be able to keep up and compete with Pony. You know what I mean? Like, that's going to be a really tough category to win if you're not Pony.
Is that the intro song for this?
It's going to be, yep.
Okay, cool.
Best soundtrack, I like that. So I think that's good.
Yeah, this is cool.
We might have more categories.
I like that we're saying it, so when we go back, we can just kind of, like, listen to this last...
Oh, no, I'm just going to write it down. I'm going to do it in real time so that we don't have to, like, go back and listen. Like, I'm just going to have this Google sheet so that we can keep track of all the different categories.
Oh, cool. Both of them work.
And go from there. Yeah. cool. Any other last thoughts about Coach Carter before we wrap up?
No, it was a good start to Channing. I'm glad that he wasn't like in nothing in this movie. We got a lot of airtime. The movie wasn't bad. So yeah, I was happy with this being our beginning.
It's also remarkable to me that this was only 12 years ago and he already has like 40 credits since then.
So yeah, same dude.
He's very prolific very quickly. Next week or next month, who knows how much he'll actually be in the movie, aside from, obviously, his dance fight shirtless strip scenes.
Yeah.
But this was a good place to start off. I don't think there's anything great about this movie. I don't think there's anything terrible about this movie. I think it's pretty straight down the middle of the road. But yeah. I was really happy that we started here. It was a pleasant surprise. Wish it was shorter,
same.
But hey, there's worse places to be.
They just need to edit it, like actually edit it. So
the last thing, so as we mentioned throughout the show, Joe and I have four podcasts now. One is in hibernation as we are waiting. Actually, as this comes out, this past weekend in most theaters across the country, The Disaster Artist is out. So
yeah,
we will
dude,
have
I'm
maybe
stoked
seen
for it. I'm stoked for it.
When that comes out on Blu-ray, we will cover that for Zack Attack. Also coming out supposedly on Christmas is The Greatest Showman, which is his musical about the circus with Zendaya and Hugh Jackman. So that should be good. So Zack Attack is in hibernation until one of those hits home video, either VOD or Blu-ray, so that we can watch it, take
watch
notes
them
in our own home.
I'm definitely going to see Disaster Artist in theaters too, though, for sure.
Oh, for sure. But we also have two other podcasts. We have Too Fast, Too Forever, the Fast and Furious podcast. Where
listen
we're
doing to
one
it
a month forever.
Do it. It'll be fun. I promise.
The last thing that we recorded was that. It was the first time we recorded about the Fast and the Furious. It's Fast and Furious Lap 1. So it's really kickoff to the series. So you don't have anything to catch up on. It's just one episode. So listen to that. The next thing we're going to record is the first episode of Boyfriend Material, the Ryan Gosling podcast, which as of this recording, we have not done yet. But the first episode of that is going to be La La Land. So that'll come out on Thursday, December 21st, if you want to watch the movie, prepare for that. But yeah, so Too Fast, Too Forever, Boyfriend Material, this is the Channing Tatum in the middle sandwich. So for all three of those podcasts, plus Zack Attack, plus everything else on our network, you can go to cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub, or at cageclubpod on Twitter. You can find all of our shows, all of our episodes. We've got a lot of new shows starting next year, too. Not only do we have four new ones this month, including the three that we mentioned, plus the Charlize Theron podcast, Watch the Throne, but next year we have a podcast called The Contenders, which you can find information on cageclub.me. Mike Manzi, former guest on Zack Attack, who will be on this podcast
before too long. Yeah.
He has a podcast coming out called Third Time's a Charm that Joe and I will be on eventually.
Definitely. Definitely.
We also have a podcast about the Daredevil comics that will be out on cageclub.me.
Ooh,
so
interesting.
Go there, check out all the different things we have for you to listen to. It's all free. I hope it's all fun. I enjoy all of it. Cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub, at cageclubpod on Twitter, and email us, magicmikes@cageclub.me. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe, too.
And we'll see you next time on Magic Mikes.
Yo. Yo, Jordan F, this right here is crazy. I feel big. You know what I mean? Like, not big in the sense of weight. You know what I mean? Like gaining weight or nothing like that. Like colossal. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I heard you were looking for me.